paradise and put up a fucking lie.
Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food. Brought to you from Sonoma County, not just wine country, but farm country. And we're celebrating about a dozen years doing this show and 18 years on KSRO. That's kind of wonderful. It gives you a little bit of continuity. And, you know, we talk to a lot of wonderful people. Sometimes we get to talk to a wonderful person who's to talk to a lot of wonderful people. And today my guest is Liza Gershman. She's written a book called Farm and Market Healdsburg. And she's written a lot of these books, and we're going to talk a lot about all of them, and in particular, this glorious book. Welcome, Liza.
Thanks so much, Clark. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh my gosh, this book is, first of all, it's fascinating and delicious, but it's also gorgeous and possibly its own coffee table. It's a sizable tome.
It's 345 pages, so it is 100 pages longer than any of my other books thus far.
Welcome to Sonoma County. I promise you, there will be people who say, why didn't you include A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Because people in this community really know a lot about the history and about the goings on and about the machinations and the successes, the challenges of, and we really love it and respect it, right?
Yes, I found in making this book, one of the most beautiful things is that everyone had at least 1 to 5 people for me to go speak with.
Yeah.
And I probably could spend the entire rest of my life just writing about where I'm from, although I love going to tropical islands and other countries. So,
when you say where you're from, are you from here?
I am a native of Sonoma County. I grew up out in Bennett Valley, past Sonoma
beautiful.
Mountain Road in the countryside, and grew up to a family that came in 1972. They were San Francisco family, and they came up. My grandfather was a developer, and needed to get out of the fog for his asthma, and that was part of the impetus for coming. And so they took root and really embraced living in Sonoma County.
People don't always remember how beautiful the Bennett Valley area of Santa Rosa really is.
You know, I think it's one of those untouched parts of Sonoma County, and I feel very pleased that the zoning has stayed the way it is, and I hope that forever it stays that way. I know things change so often. Healdsburg is an exact example of things changing very quickly. When I was growing up, I spent quite a bit of time in Healdsburg, not necessarily in town, mostly in the countryside. I was very close with a Healdsburg family out on Dry Creek Road, and we would come in sometimes to go to some of the original restaurants, and those are some of my early memories of Healdsburg.
Yeah, Healdsburg was kind of like a little oasis, and it felt like an oasis. Now it feels like a town, a real town. But before we get into all of that, I want to talk about how you not just came to do this book, but how you came to do these books, because this is something you do.
This is something I do, and it's certainly, I think, the first time. I never imagined this would become something that I just did. But we can trace it back to actually my early childhood. I was always writing. I was always taking photographs. And I spent a summer in the southwest of France with my mother when I was 13. And I think that's really the birth of my photographic career, if you could say. I photographed everything in the village we were in and every village around us, and came home, and I think that's when I really realized photography was my medium. My mother's a painter, and for me, it was photography or other design aspects. And then in college, my undergraduate degree, I had a large emphasis in English and photography. English was my major, but I had access to a darkroom, which was mine for 4 years. And so I did this incredible senior thesis where I took Amtrak across America by myself for 5 weeks, and I stopped in towns where I had friends, and I would visit them, and we would drive around their town, and I would do reportage. And so at the end of that, I came back, and that was my senior thesis, putting it all together. So I think that was kind of the birthplace of this career.
I have to tell you that my undergraduate degree in English literature was finished with excerpts from my journal as a waiter on the railroad between Oakland and Chicago. Well, so we have some connection
here.
I'm not sure I visited your friends, but you started to write these books, these farmers market books. When did you do that, and how many have you done?
So I think the first, I really had the blessing in my career of photographing books for other writers. That was how I began. And after doing about 11 books like that, a publisher of mine that I was working with, Skyhorse, based in New York, who's now part of Simon & Schuster, they said, "We know you can write. Can you please just write this book also?" And I said, "Sure." And that was my book, Cuban Flavor, which wound up being one of National Geographic's top 18 books of the year. It won a Gourmand World Cookbook Award, which, if you know anything about cookbook awards, there are only three. And so to win one is pretty wonderful.
I do, yeah.
Yes. And so that was really the beginning. And then after that, I realized that everywhere that I was traveling to or doing other projects in, there was a story. And then I would go back and want to tell the story. So I think my favorite books are Cuban Flavor and Nantucket. That's a place that I hold near and dear and go every summer. And even though that book is not largely about food, it is about lifestyle and culture, which to me, food is just, you know, interlaced with lifestyle and culture, and you cannot separate it. And I think what drew me when I was coming home, I went on to teach. I was the associate chair of the photo department for Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD in Savannah, Georgia. And when I came home from that, I really was missing home. And I came home, and what I was missing so much was our food culture and just our way of life and the diversity of trees and flowers. And so doing this project was such a gift to be able to get into the depth of the diversity of our landscape and of our food story.
All right. If you've just joined us, it's Liza Gershman. She's the author and photographer and designer of a beautiful book that weighs
4 pounds.
Four pounds. So buy it by the pound, just like the farmer's market. It's called Farm and Market Healdsburg. Tell us specifically about how this book came to be and a little bit about the process. How do we get this book? Do we get to go to the farmer's market? Is that the only way we have to see you at the farmer's market way I saw you last week?
It's not the only way. That is a wonderful way. And I'm very, very grateful to spend time at the farmer's market because that is, spending time there is really how this book came to life. But you can purchase the book on our book website, which is healdsburgbook.com. And you can also purchase it in person at the Tuesday and Saturday farmers markets and then many wonderful shops and bookstores in the town of Healdsburg.
What a singularly wonderful idea. But so what was the process? Because I know that it's a very tight-knit group. And I know that, for example, I mean, it's living in New York, as I did for 38 years, I missed farmers markets. I've been here since 99. I've been coming since I was a child, but I've been here since 99 and now full-time since the pandemic. But my challenge in New York was to go to a farmers market or green market, they called them. Their criteria was how close do you live and farm? And
yes.
So that was important. They didn't care how good a farmer you were. It's not the same thing here. Getting into a farmer's market in Sonoma County means you've really got to know what you're doing. People come and take a look at your practices and all the rest of it. So how did you come to have the trust and the support of the entire farmer's market community in Healdsburg?
It's such a great question. And I think, like you were saying, Clark, it really is a tight-knit community. And it's one in which people are high experts in their field. They're not just dabbling. So in order to gain trust, thankfully, I did have that beautiful childhood overlap where Susan and Lou Preston happened to have been the parents of really dear friends of mine growing up. And I spent a tremendous amount of time at their home in Dry Creek Valley. And Susan and Lou introduced me to
everybody.
To everybody. And everybody then introduced me to everybody else. And when I pitched the idea to, now it's 3 years almost, to the farmers market board president, I said, "I'm thinking about doing a book about our food culture. The farmers market is the heartbeat of that. I'd love to do it." And then a year later, she came back and said to me, "So we're really interested in doing a book about the farmers market. Is that something you'd be interested in?" And I said, "Yes. And I think it's bigger than the farmers market. I think that's the heart and the epicenter. But our food story goes all the way back to the WAPOs and the POMOs, and it continues forward through Single Thread and to innovators like Carlos over at Guiso. And we have to tell every story in order to, or as many stories as we can, in order to really understand why the farmers market matters."
And one of the reasons I love this book is because you tell it from the viewpoint of a farmers market. I mean, oftentimes, we've had a number of books written about the food in Sonoma County. Very many times they start with the restaurants, which in fact is a wonderful aspect, but only one of the outcomes, only one of the touch points of food in this community, right? Our history is farming, isn't
it? Yes, our history is farming. And I think there is a beautiful symbiosis in our community that is unlike most communities in America, where our farmers really are relying on the restaurants, who are really relying on the farmers. And you cannot separate them. I think Healdsburg is a model of a success story that could be used across the United States to show communities really how to get farm to table in. So something I didn't know until I was working on this book, most farm to table restaurants are 80% not farm sourced and 20% farm sourced. Ours is, for many restaurants, 80% farm sourced and 20% sourced elsewhere.
It's very interesting. When we come back in the next segment, we're going to talk specifically more. We're going to dig into the book, as it were. But it is very, very true. Some people will jokingly say, or not jokingly say, well, all food comes from farms. And you know what? There are farms and there are farms. I do not consider those things that are thousands of acres done by all kinds of tractors and sprayed with all kinds of chemicals. I don't consider those farms.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit more, and we'll talk more about this beautiful, beautiful book right back here at the table. Liza Gershman. She's the author of Farm and Market Healdsburg. I like the direct, clear title. And I have to say that we forget that farmers markets really started in the 70s here. I mean, there were farm stands before that, right? But it was the effort to launch farmers markets in 1978, I think it was, right? And then the Friends of the Healdsburg Farmers Market only started in 2014. I mean, I like that for a long time, people had farm stands. And then after that, sought the structure of having certified farmers markets, which is terribly important, right? The certification is a big deal.
It's a big deal. And also, farmers were prevented legally from selling directly to consumers. And so that is why certified farmers markets took shape.
Yeah, it's a way of letting people know that these are markets that are following the rules, that are from farmers that really are farming in that area, and that there's nothing being done off the back of a truck from Central California. Not that that's wrong. And sometimes our markets here in Sonoma County do have farmers from outside of the area to supplement, but they go through a process as well. Tell us a little bit about the Friends of the Farmers Market.
Oh, they are my biggest support. They're my fiscal sponsor of the book. The Friends of the Farmers Market is a group of about 8 wonderful women who are very dedicated to fundraising for the farmers market, and this just happens to be the first main fundraising project in all those years.
Oh, that's great. They're your fiscal sponsor.
Yes. So we raised the money for the book together through community sponsorships and partnerships, and the Friends of the Farmers Market oversees that fund. They also collect any of the sales and then distribute them to pay our bills, and all the proceeds then get returned to the farmers market from this book.
I think that's really quite wonderful. You know, for a long time, it was in a parking lot.
For a long time, it was in a parking lot.
And transformative a parking lot,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And now it's in a pavilion.
Now it's in a pavilion.
Much more like what you probably had in the south of France. Really, all over Europe, you see these permanent buildings, many of which don't have sides either, right? They're just coverings. And
yes.
I worked with a farmer's market that was put into the land side of the former Fulton Fish Market in New York City. And the farmers having something over their heads and someplace behind them to have things, they were beside themselves. Yeah. What's it like? I mean, we're going to dig into the book a lot more, but what's it like at the farmers market in these last few weeks being in their new home?
I think it's been really exciting to have a new home. So many people have come just to see that, which is wonderful for the farmers because they are gaining access to a new audience entirely. And then obviously it's the place that the community gathers. And so the old staple. People are arriving in time for the peaches, just, you know, on the dot, standing in line for at least a half an hour. And so we have that. And then we also have visitors. Last week, it was really fun signing books. I learned a lot about where people were visiting from. Of course, there were wonderful friends and locals coming up to the table. I also signed a book for somebody going back to Alaska and somebody who lived in Colorado and two women who were coming from Dallas. So you just never really know who will end up at the farmer's market, but it's more than just where our community meets. Yeah. I think it's where America comes to see California farming, California food, California food culture.
One of the things that we know about farmers markets is that sometimes people go to a farmer's market just to see the farmers like it's an exhibition.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I sometimes buy too much produce and put it out like flowers, where I realize I may not be able to eat all of it in time. It's going to go into compost, which will go back into the earth. I give it to a neighbor. I give it to a friend. But I'm buying it for the joy and the beauty of what I get there. One of the things about having a covered building, I'm sure, is the notion of it being a place, whereas in a parking lot, it's an experience, and it certainly is a gathering. But what's it like? How does it feel to you? Because you've been working with this for a while now, to be, again, in the center. And you were exactly in the center.
I was. Well, I'm really not involved in the change. I wasn't part of the committee or the board. I think they made incredible decisions with a lot of pressure, and it was really exciting to have it unveiled to see what decisions came to life. It's lovely to be in there, and it definitely feels like a bigger experience now. It feels more substantial, and I think people are quite happy with it.
I think so, too. One of the things I like about this book is that you brought in other local voices to write some of the things. Talk a little bit about some of the people you invited to write a section, write a commentary, write a story.
So Katie Murphy opens the book, and Katie is the president of the Friends of the Healdsburg Farmers Market. And without Katie, I wouldn't have a distribution arm. Katie is kind enough to, her family has warehoused 6 pallets of books, as you know how big a pallet is. So really, and she's rallied the troops. So this is our sales force, our distribution team in making this book, because I've done 19 books with traditional publishers. I realized that if we really wanted any proceeds left over to be able to give to the farmers market, the best way was to found my own publishing house.
Yeah.
And so this is my first foray into having my own press, which is Farm and Market Press. But there comes challenges of distribution and sales, and you know, it's growing a little bit faster than we had anticipated, which is such a good problem to have. It's very exciting. With just in 2 weeks, we've already gone through about a fourth of the books.
Wow.
It is really exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Some people say you're in my second or third printing. You're in your second palette.
We're in our second palette.
that's really what, if you've just joined us, it's Liza Gershman. She's the author and publisher. Now let's just get the whole title.
Photographer, and publisher.
We're going to need to get you epaulets or something. Of Farm and Market Healdsburg. It's a beautiful book. Again, in every segment, I want to remind people where to get it. First of all, number one, go to the farmer's market in Healdsburg either Saturday from 8:30 to noon or Tuesday from 8:30 to noon in the Foley Pavilion, right there on North Street, and find where it's being sold that week. You can't be there every week.
I cannot be there every week.
Right.
I have this, again, the wonderful support of the farmer's market and the wonderful support of the Friends of the Healdsburg Farmer's Market helping to sell and distribute the book.
All right. So who else has a voice in this book?
So who else has a voice in the book? Great question. I invited Melissa from Quail and Condor.
Yep.
Melissa has been recognized by James Beard, and she's such a voice of the community because she literally bakes the bread that everyone buys. And so I invited Melissa to be the welcoming voice in the foreword. And then Dusky Estes. Dusky's been a longtime friend. I've known her for at least 20 years. And Dusky wrote the afterword. And I felt that both of their reflections on the town and the community and the way we do food and the reason that farming is so important and such a vital part of the narrative, I felt like their perspectives would be really valuable. And so it's really an honor to have them in the book.
It's really wonderful that you had Melissa Yank, because she also in Quail and Condor was named by the New York Times one of the 21 or two, kind of an arbitrary number, best bakeries in America.
Yes.
And I have to say that when I, after I saw you, I went to their stand, which is now at the farmer's market as well, which makes me very happy, and had a classic French sandwich. It was a, I guess it's called a Parisienne, right? Boiled Paris ham, butter, and their baguette, and they put a little brie on it. And I have to say, I'm still smiling from that delicious collection. Dusky is another individual. What an extraordinary energy she has. What it, for you was the difference in the voice and in the task of the intro and the afterward? Yes.
Well, Melissa is relatively new to Healdsburg, although she's been there for quite a while now. And Dusky is a longtime Sonoma County resident.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I just thought it was important to represent both ends of the spectrum, somebody who's quite established and somebody who's on the newer end, even though it's still, Quail and Condor is not that new anymore. And it really felt important to me. I'm always championing female voices as a female creator. And so for me, male chefs are really sort of center stage all the time.
Well, and I have to tell you, this is also, excuse me, but this is the United Nations International Year of the Woman Farmer.
Yeah.
So it's totally perfect. We'll be right back here at the table. Table. I'm Clark Wolf. I'm here with Liza Gershman. She is the author, publisher, photographer, distributor, and bottle washer, I think they call that right, compost heaper, of a beautiful book called Farm and Market Healdsburg. We were talking about the farmers. I mean, you know, that's where it all starts. Yael Bernier is one of the most accomplished, quiet, intelligent, thoughtful people I've ever met, and a brilliant farmer. Talk about some of the farmers that you really loved talking to.
She was really the beginning. She was my first interview after I said to Lou and Susan Preston, I'm thinking about doing this book. I can only do it if you think it's a good idea, because your support will mean everything. And once they gave me the green flag, they said, the first person, though, you have to really get the approval from is Yael.
Yeah.
And Susan said, if she's on board, then this will work. And if not, you've got to forget about this idea. And so I went and I had coffee with her in her home, and we spent probably 2 hours chatting about everything under the sun, from music to farming to garlic. And what was so remarkable was this archive of newspaper articles that Yael has. And I was able to read back from early days of the 70s when they were founding the market and really see the spirit and recognize it is the same spirit that exists today. And that was so beautiful and memorable. Something else that was really important in the making of this book is that we're all quite concerned about actual climate change, because I would say we see it in real time here on our farms. Cindy Daniel and Doug Lipton definitely contributed in their interview to how much they've seen climate change impact, particularly their apples.
Yeah.
That was really fascinating to me. But back to Yael, she has this rich history and she's an activist, I would call her. I don't know if she would agree, but she is somebody who is at the forefront of protecting and preserving the land. And that was so inspiring to me as somebody who looks to the future and thinks, how do we protect that? This is what we have. This is our resource. This is the gold mine, is the land. And how do we make sure that if we are truly in a grape decline, or if we enter into a post-grape economy, what does that look like for our land?
It's important for people to remember that we've been in a lot of different kinds of foods. I mean, this was French prune. Well,
French plums.
They call the French, they're prunes, right? Right. And for a long time, and people forget that Spuds Point, which is a great place to get a chowder and some Dungeness crab sandwiches, it's called Spuds Point because that's where they brought the barges up to the coast into the Bodega Bay and picked up the spuds.
Yes.
And we grew a lot of hops. We grew a lot of pears. We grew a lot of apples. And apples are an interesting one because, again, there are certain areas that are starting to be more difficult for apples. We're starting starting to get olives. We're starting to get olives and olive oil because it is a certain sensibility, not entirely Italian. And I always joke about the fact that you lived for a while in the south of France, which used to be Italy.
Yes.
I mean, really, I always refer to France as Paris with beachfront property. But I do want to talk about that for a moment. The difference in crops. When you were talking to these different people, these different farmers, Lou Preston has always said he was a recovering winemaker.
Yes.
You know, he still makes brilliant wines, but he also realized that he wanted to diversify. Where did you find that process right now? Because it is a moment, isn't it?
It is a moment, and it seems like some people are very dedicated to new crops. What I loved was when I was interviewing Bruce and Anthony from Farm to Fight Hunger, they have an emphasis on crops that support our Latin community.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and the Latin community is not, of course, as ancient as the 8 or 10,000 years before with the tribal communities that we now have learned to respect and go back to kind of rediscover some of their practices that work right now because they lived with nature, right?
Yes, absolutely. Very seasonally. And I think that's something that if you're not in a farming community, you are really divorced from seasonal eating. It's not natural to get pineapple in the middle of winter, and it's not
ever on pizza. Sorry, folks.
Or ever on pizza. I agree.
No, I'm just teasing. If you like it, go ahead. But you're right. Exactly. Last week I picked up some asparagus, and I thought I was done because, you know, when asparagus comes,
yes.
I want it. I just roast it in olive oil with a little salt.
Yes.
Sometimes fresh farm eggs on top of it. Sometimes it goes into something else. And then I'm done, and I don't want it until next year, right? But we've had a lovely season, and it's hard to resist. I think it's wonderful was scanning this, I saw that Yael Bernier had farmed on the land that is now Dry Creek Peach.
Yes, isn't that remarkable?
Oh, it's so perfect.
Yes.
But what you tell us in the book is that when Yael and her husband, Paul, started that farm, it had been an orchard with different things. And then they kind of discovered that peaches were a good thing to have. And then it went to another family and then eventually to Gail Sullivan and her family, where it is today, where we just line up and are so grateful. But there's a history in just a couple of generations.
That is so accurate. And I think that helps us understand how over the course of 50, 100, 200, 300, 400 years, things can really change.
Yeah. Well, all right. There are 700 farmers markets, certified farmers markets in California. I love when these kinds of things emerge from a book like this, which is, you know, a celebration of a place. But what I love about this book is it also celebrates all of California and also all of American farming and all of American food culture. People always wonder about what is American food. And I think too often they're mistaken in focusing on what they think is American-made food or American cuisine, as opposed to what American food is, which is out of the bounty of our earth. It's just amazing. The Russian River plays a big part, doesn't it?
The Russian River plays an enormous part because it's how we nurture our soil for so many farmers. And a variety of crops grow closer to a riverbed. So, you know, we get, if you've ever had the opportunity to go to Front Porch Farm, the Russian River runs smack through the middle of their property. And
yes.
Absolutely. Well, the edge of the property. And it is absolutely incredible.
It makes so much sense. Yes, I live, well, when I bought the cabin in the woods that I live in now, I asked the real estate person, does it ever flood up here? Because I'm 80 feet above the river. And she said, if it floods here, call it Noah. All right, you also talk about the Century Club, the people who in their families have been farming for a century. Was it easy to get to some of those people?
I think that our community really opened the doors. So once I started having conversations, everyone introduced me to more people, which was so fun. And having grown up in Sonoma County, naturally, I went to school with some of the older families. And so I had a really nice tie to visit some old friends and
they were in your high school yearbook and not necessarily in your smartphone. All right, well, when we come back, I think maybe we will talk a little bit more about the chefs because, of course, everybody wants to know about the chefs. And we'll, again, remind people where they can get this. And we will talk generally about the recipes and where they came from right back here at the table. We'll be right back. We are back. I'm Clark Wolf. I'm with Liza Gershman. She is the author, publisher, and photographer of Farm and Market Healdsburg. You can get this book in and around Healdsburg and all the different shops in many places there, but also go to the farmer's market. Go on Saturday morning. Go on Tuesday morning. And if Liza herself is not sitting at the table selling books, whoever will be there is part of the community. Let's talk a little bit more about the chefs and these glorious recipes. And again, I know you're not a recipe tester. You're not a cookbook author, but you did gather some really wonderful recipes that take up at least 3¼ pounds of this book. Where did they come from and how did you gather them?
Recipes came from a variety of sources. One, we held a townwide recipe contest.
And
that was one of the most fun parts of the book. Every day would look and see somebody new come in and to see all of the names of the community supporting the project and hoping to be on the pages. Unfortunately, not everybody could be included, which was probably the hardest part of the book for me.
Yeah.
But thankfully, there was a great recipe committee. 5 taste testers made the recipes and then voted. And I trusted their instincts on which recipes were best.
Listen, I've had the great pleasure of being one of the judges of the baking contest that you guys do once a year.
Yes.
With Melissa. And I understand. And one of the nice things about it is there's so many good cooks.
There's so many good cooks.
In Healdsburg, I mean, yes, they really do understand and embrace the ingredients and the farms and all that comes around them. But they really respect and know how to cook.
They really do. We have recipes from we have 70-ish recipes, and 40 of those came from notable chefs, many of whom are Michelin or James Beard award-winning chefs.
Wow.
And then we also have recipes from 22 farmers and community members. And something that I found so fascinating in the process of the book was how often a chef, I remember Charlie Palmer, remarked to me, well, we have to be good because everyone in this town knows how to cook.
Exactly. You really do have to. I mean, again, when I was living in New York, and the only way you could get a good espresso was to get a pod from Ely Cafe because they were roasting good coffee, but most of the community didn't know what good coffee was, so they didn't take care of it. Whereas in this community, all the way through, right, you can be in another farming community, a so-called farming community, even in California, and the farmers, because they're industrial, don't cook. They go out or they, I don't know, they DoorDash it or something. Here, everybody does. Cousteau and Downtown Bakery, two of the bakeries that we really love, have been fundamental, haven't they?
Absolutely. Cousteau's was here at the very beginning of any culinary scene in Healdsburg. But I think it's so important to give credit to Downtown Bakery and Creamery, founded by Kathleen Stewart and Lindsay Schur, who came from Chez Panisse.
Right.
And they would come up on weekends. They started this renegade bakery. They were basically hipsters of their time, I guess you would say. And they, on their drive up, would stop along the way at farms and farm stands, and they began to make things like ice cream with very unusual ingredients. And according to Kathleen, the town sort of rolled their eyes at her project. But over time, people really took to it because the food was just remarkable, and there was no getting around that. She was so famous for her apple galettes.
Yeah.
And now the bakery has been sold. She passed that on a few years ago, and it's now owned by Ross and Karna Murphy, and they have some of Kathleen's original recipes. And Ross is a tremendous pizza maker.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, he'll do a special pizza, and if you get a chance to have his pizza, I would say run for it. The other day, I had this incredible lemon pizza that he made, and it was everything of the season.
You know, I have to tell you that, first of all, you talked about the Downtown Bakery interesting ice creams, but they also, I don't know if they still do, used to make one of the most perfect coffee ice creams anywhere. And I'm a real purist about it. It's my favorite ice cream. Coffee ice cream tells me everything I need to know about you. And and also coffee espresso in particular is my brown of choice. I don't eat much chocolate because it doesn't agree with me. You're exactly right. As a restaurant consultant, when I was working on a project that didn't have a name yet, I always called it kind of jokingly Ralph. Let's just call it Ralph, you know, for now. And then I discovered Bistro Ralph in Healdsburg.
Yes. Bistro Ralph was my first exposure to food in Healdsburg as a restaurant. I was probably in 6th grade at the time. And the Prestons loved going there. They were friends of Ralph. And so once in a while, us kids would get to go along. And to me, that was the palate that whenever I would go anywhere else in the world and I would think about food, I would think about food at home. I would think about the beautiful food my mother made. I would think about the food at friends' homes, all coming from farms and from local farmers markets, and then also the restaurants. And Bistro Ralph really stuck with me. And I do wish that he was still doing food now, but it's such a great, wonderful memory. And for everybody that participated in the book that remembers that restaurant, they hold it with such dear memories.
My favorite kind of food, and I think James Beard and Marion Cunningham, who wrote the Fanny Farmer cookbooks, both kind of said that the best restaurant food is professionalized home cooking.
Yes.
And that's really what Bistro Ralph felt like.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And because it also felt to me like the country cousin of Zuni Cafe.
Yes.
Where in Zuni Cafe, they would go to a lot more trouble and a lot many more days and more ingredients. But the heart of simplicity, the hardest thing to do, really good simplicity, was the value and the joy of all of that food, and still is at Zuni Cafe nearly 50 years later. When we come back, we'll just have a few minutes to talk once again about how to get this book, why this book is so not just delicious and wonderful and beautiful, but important, right back here at the table. Liza Gershman. She's the author, publisher, and photographer of Farm and Market Healdsburg. And we're talking about this progression, Downtown Bakery and Cousteau and all this history and these wonderful farms and farmers. We have to mention that Charlie Palmer kind of put Healdsburg on the restaurant map, even as we were loving Bistro Ralph just across the plaza. And of course, Mateo Granados, who I met when he was cooking at the Sebastopol Farmers Market under a pop-up tent, but also had been Charlie's chef de cuisine, cooked all over the world. And then of course, the Single Thread folks who really put Healdsburg and that food and those farms on the world map. They're at the top of the culinary and farming world internationally like crazy.
Yes, I think it's to tell Healdsburg's food story. The reason there are 100 pages before you ever get to a recipe is because our food story is not simple. Everyone who had a successful restaurant had disciples, and they would then go and found their own restaurants or their own projects. So if you have Charlie, that leads you to Mateo, and that leads you also to Dustin. So then you have Villette, and you have the Matheson. If you have Single Thread, then you have spinoffs. Melissa and Sean came from Single Thread's early days. You know, everyone comes from somewhere else. And I think at some point I tried to create a chef family tree and it just was impossible.
Well, that's good because, you know, leaves fall, right?
Right?
And I think Sean came actually
first
to Single Thread, and he came to farm. And, you know, and Melissa was the pastry chef, right? And let's not forget that the folks at Single Thread stopped on their honeymoon 30 years before saying someday we're going to be here, right? And they did it, and they're doing it for all of us. And somehow something as beautiful and as grand has a great humility. That's one of the things I really like about the community. And people, you know, can talk about the visitors and all the rest of it. It is one of the gifts of having a wonderful place that people want to visit, isn't it?
It is an enormous gift. And I think as successful as Single Thread has been able to become on a world stage, they are very rooted in Healdsburg. And Katina said to me in the book, and so did Kyle, we are nothing without everyone here. And I love that they recognize that and they support that ideology.
Please tell us once again how to get this book, how to follow you, how to see what else you're going to do next, because this is absolutely marvelous. And one more time, how to get it, and where the proceeds go.
Well, thank you so much, Clark. The best place is, of course, at the Farmers Market in Healdsburg on Tuesdays or on Saturdays, and also shops in town, including the two bookstores. If you cannot make it to Healdsburg in person, HealdsburgBook.com is the next best way, and the proceeds go back to the Farmers Market, which is such an essential need.
Listen, thank you so much for doing this wonderful book, and thank you for taking time to be with us today. Right back here. We'll be here the next time at the table.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You'd be in paradise and put up a fucking lie.